Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Teresa. I love that chant, and it really makes my life easy as a minister because sometimes people ask, what is the meaning of life? Well, we're here to give and receive love. There you have it. Let's go ahead and raise an offering. I guess we're done for today. Well, not so fast. Not so fast. This is week number 2 of our annual Unity Awakening series, our annual series of small groups, all of which are virtual this year, and Sunday messages in which we collectively study some material. And that material that we're studying this year is the book, How Then Shall We Live? By Wayne Moller. And the subtitle of the book is 4 Simple Questions That Reveal the Beauty and Meaning of Our Lives. 4 Simple Questions. And those 4 simple questions are on the slide. Who am I? What do I love? How shall I live knowing I will die? Everybody breathe. And what is my gift to the family of Earth? And I would say, what are my gifts? Because we all have so much to offer. Well, to briefly recap where we started off this series last week, I need to admit, I didn't really address the first question, who am I, but rather set the stage for addressing the first question by acknowledging the challenging times in which we live in. I mean, there's so much going on in our world that is experienced as both threatening and adversarial. The civic unrest, wildfires, climate change, a hurricane, election anxiety, COVID-19. And this hardly seems like the ideal time to go within and answer 4 profound questions, does it? And I shared last week that I've come to recognize that these outer circumstances are evidence of the collective experience of that old unity term, chemicalization. Well, to recap, chemicalization is a condition in the mind that is brought about by the conflict that takes place when a high spiritual realization contacts an old error state of consciousness. Those old ideas and tapes that we carry around clashing with a new and better, bigger, expansive future. And it does happen collectively as well as individually. Now, on the individual level, here are some examples that you may have experienced in your life. How about when you start a diet and then you see the cookies and go, but I want the cookies? Or how about when you set up a new budget for yourself and then you realize something's on sale and I really don't need it, but it's on sale. I really want to get it. Or how about when you discover a new spiritual path, like when you come to Unity or a new thought center and you realize, what? You mean I wasn't born a miserable sinner? Whoa, amen. Yeah, so some of that can stir up stuff internally for us. And it happens on the collective level as well as when there is a demand for equal justice that exposes systemic racism, or when our vision of peace, abundance, and respect for all creation, borrowing from our vision statement here, encounters patterns of xenophobia and environmental degradation. I hold this idea and this belief, though, that spirit doesn't care if you're comfortable. Spirit cares if you're growing. There is something within us that our soul, our psyche wants to grow. And yeah, sometimes that is just not comfortable. It's a good thing we have that cat mantra, smack, whack, and knock it down or whatever. I'll have to go back and watch the tape. I like that because that's really going to work for me, I can assure you, as a pet owner. So we grow in spite of, or maybe because of, the challenges in our world. And we have to be careful not to let the outer world monopolize our time and attention as it is wont to do. It's kind of like in mindfulness meditation. What a great video we had with the kids today. In mindfulness meditation, we acknowledge the outer conditions of the room, the sounds, the noise, the physical experience of the chair, so that we're not disturbed by them. It's almost like, okay, I notice you're here, so I'm still going within. And when we answer the question, who am I, we acknowledge the outer conditions of our lives so that our inner exploration can continue unabated. And that's kind of the focus of last week. So who am I? Well, if you're interested in this question, the field of endeavor you'll want to research on your own is in philosophy called metaphysics or ontology, by the way. Now, Wayne Muller writes in his material, many spiritual traditions and practices begin with this single question, who am I? The question is a persistent and intimate companion. The search for our essence, our identity, is fundamental. It is as necessary for individuals as it is for nations, tribes, races, and yes, spiritual communities. Persistent and intimate. I love those words. Persistent and intimate. Who am I? Is a question we will ask and answer our whole lives as our ages and roles and perspectives change and grow and expand and contract. And at different times and for different reasons, we will investigate and lean into this question. And we will get different answers at different times. And sometimes we will recognize and really accept the beauty and the majesty and the power that we see within ourselves and that we know is the truth of our being. And sometimes we will become ensnared in the apparent discords and guilt and shame that we sometimes find within as well. There is one answer to this question, who am I, though, that will always be the same. And it's nice to know there's something that will always be the same. And this answer is drawn from the work of the French Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And it is a very common refrain that we hear often in Unity in New Thought circles. He wrote, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." Jesus put it this way in the Sermon on the Mount, essentially saying the same thing. "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light for all the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." But regardless of what happens to you or what you do, the light that you are does not change. However, in our humanity, we do have the capacity to turn the rheostat up to full brightness or turn it down to its lowest, dimmest setting. Our persistent and intimate quest, then, is to stay consciously connected to this light. Because it is the spiritual being part of us. Or as Paul put it simply, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the truth in the spirit of you, the hope of glory. Well, let's talk about this human part of our being for a moment. You know, I love it. If it weren't for our humanity, we would not have country music at all. I tell you, there's a lot of good stuff that happens because of our humanity that when you set it to music, makes for a great experience. So we call our human part my ego, my personality, my small self, my personality, my humanity. But another name we might want to give it is my best teacher. You know, it tends to get a bad rap, but so do the best teachers, the hardest teachers, the most challenging teachers. They get a bad rap too. And yet, in order to fully awaken the Christ within, borrowing from our mission statement here, we need some means to wake up our Christ within. And so we get these wonderful lessons, these opportunities to learn. And still, though, I think it is imperative for us to learn to love our humanity, whatever we're calling it. and the countless and infinite number of ways that this humanity presents to us these wonderful opportunities and lessons to learn who we truly are and who we truly are not. Those lessons are equally important as well. You know you have encountered your humanity when you hear in your mind the refrain of that very famous Britney Spears song, "Oops, I did it again." So there's room for Britney here in our music program. So Amy, let's talk about maybe finding a choral arrangement for that song. You know, we advise people to be your own best friend. We might want to advise people as well to recognize you are also your own best teacher, whether you like it or not. So you might want to learn to like it. In psychology, shadow is the word used to describe those parts of ourselves that we prefer not to acknowledge. Things we'd prefer to keep hidden. Parts of ourselves and our lives that we haven't maybe inwardly processed or made peace with. And sometimes people aren't even aware of their shadow elements. And very often these shadow parts of ourselves are sources of guilt or shame that arise from life experiences. Again, things we did or things that were done to us. And in the end, in order to cover all that up, we end up living lives of inauthenticity. And we have to invest tremendous amounts of energy trying to be someone we are not, trying to be a facade, a personality. I know for myself, before I came out as a gay man, I wasted a lot of my life energy for years trying to be someone I was not. The only thing that got me was chronic low-grade depression. I don't do that anymore. When we dedicate our life energy to suppressing or covering up shadow, or equally as bad, projecting it onto somebody else or some other group, and that is in fact called projection, the result is that we ultimately put a bushel basket over the light that we are. Wayne Muller puts it this way. It is vital and true and deeply required that we tell our story. If there inevitably comes a point when no single story is ever large enough to hold us, this is the point of healing. Not just to tell your story, but to let your story fade away, revealing our true nature. Our stories for each and every one of us include the good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives. What we did, what happened to us. But there comes a time, and this is why I think we are called to this deeper calling to be in new thought and to be in unity, to realize we are more than our individual stories and our shadows, and to come to know the truth that we are unlimited, unafraid, and absolutely unstoppable in living life and living it abundantly and having the joy and having the prosperity and having the peace and having the wisdom that is ours by our divine birthright as spiritual beings, having a human experience. Spiritual beings enjoying the fullness of our physicality. There's so much here that is good for us. And oh my gosh, when we also expand our capacity to allow others to have the fullness of their being, we do enter into that space of oneness where we know we are connected and that we are all free to love unconditionally and to accept unconditional love in return. So discovering the answer to the question, who am I? Learning to recognize and release shadow, and recognizing that we are our own best teacher. All these tasks take time. Good thing is we have all the time we need. With compassion for ourselves and for others, this work can be done. This work is being done and ultimately must be done by us all. To encourage you on this quest, and myself as well, I'm going to close with a prayer excerpted from Hearts on Fire by Teilhard de Chardin. Now, the final lines are a bit traditional in their verbiage, but I affirm that you will find the feeling of these words as inspiring and comforting as I have. And he prayed, "Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient on being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stage of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you. Your ideas gradually mature. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time, that is to say, grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, will make you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that his hand is guiding you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. It is only a feeling, because the truth is you've always been whole and complete. Peace be with you and namaste."
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.